Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Thursday, the 25th of April. The year's fair flying in. I'm joined this morning by Joshua Barry. How's it going, Joshua?
Good, Derek. Yeah, good to be back. And always a pleasure to talk Rangers with you at 9:30. So looking forward to getting into it.
As always, it's the best time of the day, and I'm sure everyone tuning in all agrees. Before we talk all things Rangers, a quick word as ever for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. They've got some brilliant Viessmann boilers on offer at this moment in time. If your boiler is on the blink, these are the guys to call. The all-important links are in the description below. And as ever, you know that the drill by now, they get flexible finance options, first-year service free, and they throw in a free internet controller as well. So if you like your gadgets and gizmos, these are the guys to ring. Right, that's well, just before we get stuck in, I'll mention that the offer we've got on, because we've just got a few days left on that as well over on the website. If you want to be in with the chance of winning this jersey signed by Gazza and Ali McCoist, then all you have to do is sign up to one of two offers we've got on in a spring sale, and I'll whack up the banner here. There we go. You can take out a year subscription for just £18, or you can take out a six-month subscription for just £1. It's £2.99 per month thereafter, which in itself is cracking value given the content you're getting on the website. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up. Existing subscribers already automatically entered into that draw to win that signed jersey. Right, where should we start? There's a piece on the website this morning you may have seen, folks, on who will start at centre-back against St Mirren and perhaps beyond, of course, five games of the league season remaining, not to mention that Scottish Cup final at the end of May. Leon Balogun came in for the out-of-form Connor Goldson, although Philip Clement said he was taken out of the firing line because he was tired after a pretty lengthy recovery period. I don't think he can use that line again if he is dropped for St Mirren on Sunday. I said yesterday, Joshua, the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think I would be opting for that same centre-back pairing that we witnessed at Hampden on Sunday. Would you agree with that or not?
Yeah, well, people can read our thoughts in detail, something we do quite a lot on the website, where we collate the opinions, being a democracy at the Rangers Review, Derek, collate the opinions of all our writers and see what they think. Yourself and Chris have gone for predicted it'll be Balogun and Suter. Myself and Johnny have gone for Goldson and Balogun. My thoughts on it are, I'd be surprised if he keeps Goldson out of the team for the rest of the season. Now, I agree with people that he's been in his worst run of form. It's probably his worst run of form since he came to the club. I know he just did that podcast, which I've caught parts of, and he was speaking about how he struggled right at the start of his Rangers career. Obviously, unfortunate time, and maybe that comes out when he is actually dropped, and he was speaking about the anxiety about losing your place, even when he's been such a fixture in that first team. Simultaneously, Derek, I think he's been that for a reason. This season, he has looked like someone who's played 300 games in such a short space of time. The reason that I think he might come back in is purely because if you look at the three options, for me, I think Suter has almost been as much of an issue at points alongside Goldson in terms of the mistakes that he's made in games. Now, I agree with people, if you played him on the right side of defence, then would those mistakes be limited somewhat? Probably, because a lot of the time when he is making errors, he's being aggressive and he's trying to attack the ball with his right foot when he's on his left-hand side. Think back to even the chance, the save that Jack Butland made at Kilmarnock away when it was 1-0 and it could have gone 2-0. I think it was Matty Kennedy at the back post. And that all came from Suter getting the ball stuck under his feet on the left-hand side. That was the same as the first day of the season at Kilmarnock. So mistakes have not been isolated to Goldson. For me, Derek, I'm looking at who is the most comfortable in that left centre-back position. Ben Davies is not in the picture at the moment. Conor Goldson is definitely not going to play in the left-hand side of defence. Leon Balogun is the most comfortable there and probably the least error-strewn at the moment. You know, before he got that injury, that was probably the best that Rangers defence has looked under Clement. Certainly on a statistical level, we looked at the chances they were conceding a few weeks ago, and it was better when it was Goldson and Balogun as opposed to Goldson and Suter. However, if that was going to happen, I'm surprised that the Balogun did not play on the left-hand side and Suter on the right-hand side when Rangers met Hearts at Hampden at the weekend. So perhaps we'll see a continuation of Goldson and Suter. I'd be really surprised that I think the consistency throughout everyone's selections is that the Balogun has to play not only because of his experience, because they've got three experienced players there, but because clearly he's the one who's in the best form at the moment. And there's not enough justification for Goldson and Suter being solid enough of a partnership for that kind of form argument in regards to Balogun to override it for me. I think it will be Goldson and Balogun. You guys think it will be Suter and Balogun. But as you say, that freshness argument for Goldson won't wash at the weekend. If Clement does not start him, then I really persist that deeper questions about his future beyond the summer, because he's obviously still got 2 years in his contract, will definitely persist. And that's why I think the Goldson might come back into the fold.
Yeah, manager's got a big call to make at the weekend. Like I said, it's Balogun and one other for me, whether that's Suter, who I didn't think had his best of games against Hearts at the weekend, had a very ropey second half in particular. Mm-hmm. There was a spell when Hearts were getting a lot of joy down his left-hand side. I think Balogun, there's a comment came in recently saying that he did well over that right. I think it surprised many when he played in Goldson's position. But the manager, he's paid the big money to make these decisions. I think they will be tested at Paisley on Sunday. You just hope, I mean, that's two clean sheets now for Rangers. You hope they're going to have to construct a number of those if they're going to go on and win the title. None of this losing cheap goals as they have been doing. That is a big factor, Joshua, isn't it? The goals that have been given away. It's not just that recently, I mean, I don't know when Clement came in, he showed up the back line, but down the years, it's been an issue for Rangers losing relatively cheap goals.
Well, when he first came into the club, there was that stretch of up until mid-January, maybe late January. And actually, when Rangers came back from the winter break, their defensive numbers were really good. The immediate six games after that, I think they conceded 2 goals and 10 shots on target from the game. It was Hibs away that Rangers started the international break up until 6 games after that, which I can't remember what that one was off the top of my head. But then in the 6 games immediately preceding that, instead of conceding 10 shots on target, they conceded 10 goals. So I think that's just indicative of how things really fell off a cliff. But interestingly, Derek, if you look at what happened in the middle of that, it's not so much that there was changes to the defence, although we know Ridvan Yilmaz has been out recently, but it's the knock-on effect for me of not having wingers. And if you don't have wingers, you have to use your fullbacks differently, and then you're really wide open. If you go back to the Ross County game, Rangers conceded the single highest expected goals they had in a number of years. And at that point, again, over that second six-game period, they were conceding the most counter-attacking shots in the league. It was not only the back four, but it was the structure ahead of them. And that's what Clement said when we put the kind of defensive performance to him recently at a press conference. Interestingly, if you go back to January, again, when Suter and Goldson were asked, and this was when Rangers were recording a lot of clean sheets and they were conceding hardly any opportunities. And when Suter and Goldson were asked about the defensive performance, they didn't just say, yeah, we're defending well as a back four, we're defending our box well, et cetera, et cetera. They always spoke about the structure ahead of them, the way the team were pressing, the way that they were counter-pressing when they got into the opposition final third, because that meant that they were not vulnerable. And if you look at, for example, the goals that they conceded against Ross County and Aberdeen, they were kind of freak moments, but they did show that vulnerability to balls in behind when Rangers were kind of leaving space for the opposition to attack. That for me became so much more evident when you missed Ridvan at left back, because Barisic plays high and wide, and we know what happened with Barisic and Lundstrom in that Ross County game and the Hibs game as well. You and I spoke, we did a video, an extra podcast, didn't we, after the Hibs game, where Rangers had only conceded one goal, but the point of the article was ahead of the Old Firm. They can't do what they did against Hibs against Celtic, because they'll concede transition after transition, and that's why you've needed Dujon Sterling in just about every position over the course of the last month. So a lot of the defensive performance has to do with me about the team's overall structure and the fact that when they've not had wingers, they've had to play differently. Ridvan has been a really big miss just across the board, because he was probably Rangers' best player of the year for me 2024 before he got injured. But also in isolation, you've then had centre-backs who don't look confident. And Goldson, whenever you've watched Goldson over recent years, I don't think you've thought he's in his head or he knows he's not winning this battle. But in certain games, such as that Motherwell game, you could see that. So it's been a culmination of the team structure not being as good, but then and that impact in the centre-backs' form and probably their confidence, which has definitely shown over a number of games for Goldson, because as mentioned, we've not seen this kind of run for him before, and we've obviously not seen him be dropped before, I think, at all when he's been at Rangers.
Yeah, lots of comments coming in about people wanting updates on Ridvan and Seema. The press conference is tomorrow, folks. It is not today. So we'll hear from the Rangers manager tomorrow, around about the same time. It's usually around about 1:30, 2:00, yep, when we'll get an injury update on those players. So, yeah, just to confirm, it is not today. It was Thursday last week, just because... it wasn't Thursday last week. It was Thursday the week before, wasn't it? Because
when the game was cancelled.
Yeah. But that was... anomaly, it's not usually a Thursday. Love this. Chris gets in touch, says, I listen every day whilst eating my breakfast. Absolutely fantastic. What are those emojis? A bagel and something. That's the okay sign.
But, hands. Yeah. Hopefully he's not just having a bagel, but if he is, fair enough, Chris.
Yep. What is your favourite little topping?
Breakfast?
A bagel?
On a bagel, I would probably go. What would I go on a bagel? Maybe avocado and bacon.
I'm having that. Yep, not to be sniffed at.
What about you?
This is a bit weird. Sometimes I've not had a bagel for a while, but I used to just have bagel toasted and 4 boiled eggs.
Fair enough. So it's a bit dry.
It is a bit dry, but there you go. Thomas says, salmon and cream cheese, can't go wrong with that. That's a good combination. Absolutely fantastic. Bob says, washed down with it by the orange juice, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Aldo says, avocado, bacon and ketchup, also a good choice. Okay. Right, let's crack on with more Rangers chat before we're deviating slightly here from why we're all on, which is to talk all things Rangers. This was an interesting point. We'll touch on this before we talk about Stephen Davis has been speaking, Joshua. Now, reports this morning from Saudi Arabia, a publication by the name of Slatty, has said that Stephen Gerrard, of course, in charge of Al Ettifaq, they're having a pretty troubled season, it's fair to say. I think they're down 7th position in the league, but according to reports over there, he will be backed at the end of the season to bring in a good few players, and reports over there suggest he will be targeting James Tavernier. We all know there has been Saudi reports in him for quite some time, but also Connor Goldson he'll look to prize away in the summer. Now, I've been on shows before and I've suggested that the summer might be the time. You said he's got 2 years left on his deal. I think the time might be come for a parting of the ways if Rangers can find a buyer for Connor Goldson. That's an interesting one. Unless something really substantial monetary-wise comes in, then I would like Tav to stay. I know that many would disagree. Let us know in the comments, folks. But what do you make of that, Joshua? Is that a surprise to you that we see these reports this morning?
Firstly, see if you cast your mind back to like 3 years ago and you think of where Gerrard was then, and obviously now with Klopp going and with Liverpool not having like a kind of a big name successor, and Arne Slot is looks like who they're going to go for. It's just been a weird few years for Steven Gerrard's management career, isn't it? Because you do wonder what if he'd stayed a little bit longer and not gone down to the Premier League at that juncture. But that's a separate conversation. Tavernier, these links aren't new, and as you say there, they've persisted over a long period of time. And obviously, it's an easy-ish link to make because Gerrard being there, and because Tavernier and Goldson were two of his favourites. Tavernier, for me, it's two different conversations. Let's take Tavernier, Goldson and Lundstrom in the summer, because I know that's what a lot of people are talking about at the moment. For me, Rangers still need... And we've spoken about this for a long, long time. This isn't new to this season, or this isn't new to this run of form. Rangers have needed for a long time, incidentally, before we come on to talk about Stephen Davis, someone who is like Stephen Davis. And that is quite difficult, but they need someone who is a specialist player at the base midfield to control things, to be a natural in possession. Lundstrom... That's never been his natural game for me. He's had really good spells in his Rangers career. He's had really good performances, and his qualities to his game that have enabled him to play so many games in that position. but there's a reason that he's not, you know, he wasn't signed to play that role. And under different managers, he has become that number six. Whereas I think Rangers need, if you look at the Dundee game away last week, and I know Clement spoke about his team looking to go deep too quickly against Hearts, that wasn't as much of an issue because there was just so much space to play into, which Todd Cantwell really exploited. They need someone when they're going to see the most of the ball, which that position will, they'll have the most passes, or they should probably have the most passes in a game when Rangers are trying to break a team down. They need someone that is the best part of their game. That is what they're a specialist at, and that will make a material difference, I think, to the team. Connor Goldson, I think there has to be questions because of his run of form as of late, and no one can ever be really safe, I think, when Rangers aren't winning trophies, and a lot depends on what happens over the next six games. Tavernier, I'm with you. Where, you know, how many goals has he scored? I know a fair few penalties this season, but 20 something already.
Yeah.
And that's not even taking assists into consideration. We're still in a position where if you take him out of the team, Rangers lose the most effective outfield attacker. I think that you see the role he's been playing under Clement when he's playing behind the winger. That for me gives him an extra 2 years playing at this level, maybe more, because we know, you know, how well he looks after himself. He's no longer having to recover up and down the pitch continuously and just kind of be a wide overlapping fullback. I think that will give him more longevity. And although he's not someone, again, who's going to play with his back to goal and really build play deep in the pitch, if you watch him, he's a really clever player when he makes rotations. If you watch him with McCausland, he's always the one to conduct in when these rotations happen as he moves in the pitch, as we've spoken about a lot on the podcast over the last number of months, Derek. That role should give him a little bit more time. And I think performing at the level that he has done. So that's where I'd survey those three over the course of the summer. Goldson is probably the one that you'd say is a little bit more likely to go, but he's still got 2 years on his current contract as well. And the Saudi links are not new. They're obviously, everyone knows what Gerard thought of Tavernier and Goldson. And I will certainly be one to keep an eye on over the course of the summer.
Yeah, it was surprising today. I've sort of keeping an eye on how he's getting on over there. He was struggling and got offered a bumper new contract, but it was interesting. Yeah. It's showbiz over there, isn't it? He's such a big name and a big draw. I think that is why they have him and others over there to try.
Do you not think it's interesting, though, that I know we're going to, not to make this a podcast just about Steven Gerrard, but you think about how much of his early management career seemed driven towards this eventual goal. I always thought it was about the eventual goal of winning the Premier League with Liverpool. And that was the kind of angle.
Yeah, just being at Liverpool, I think, as manager, I think, would be his dream. Yeah. But I think as soon as he accepted a move away from Rangers, then that disappeared. Even then, when he went down to Villa, I'm sure he would still have
definitely
doing well there.
And that was. I think that was still. You look at what Emery's done at Villa.
Yeah.
That was a club with a lot of potential. Maybe Gerrard just wasn't quite ready at that time. Certainly didn't materialise well in his second season, but. Yeah, it's interesting. It is a sliding doors moment, and you do think, what if he'd stayed for a little bit longer? What would be the outcome for both parties? But we'll never know, will we?
This is what I feel. If he stayed that season, Rangers would have won the league, but we would not have Seville. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, probably. The sliding doors moment of that season, I think, is the Malmo game. Because if Rangers beat Malmo at home, and you remember halftime, Malmo just had a player sent off, hadn't they? I think it was one... It was equal. It was 2-2 in aggregate because Morelos had scored in the first half.
Yeah,
Rangers should have gone on and won the game in the second half. The second half was indicative of their struggles under Gerrard when they were too rigid, crosses from fullbacks, and they obviously conceded two goals. Did Colak score both the goals? Didn't they?
Yeah,
or one of them.
Yeah,
both of them.
Two. Yeah,
yeah. But that's a sliding doors moment for me, because if they get the Champions League money, then there's a potential for more signings. Gerrard is not as miffed as he was. And they perhaps start the season better. Because you think of the start of that season when Postecoglou was taking time to get going and the results weren't quite there. Rangers also at the same time dropped points to a number of teams at home, didn't they? They lost at Dundee United away in the third game of the season. So
yeah.
What might have been, I think they still would have had enough probably over the course of the season, because Seville was took so much attention away in the final few months of that campaign. But yeah, you'd be hard placed to trade off that European journey as well, wouldn't you? So probably in agreement with you.
Yeah, Absolutely. It's all sliding doors moments. Let's get on to some more interesting points in the news. Of course, you'll see on the website this morning, Stephen Davis has given an interview, very interesting stuff from the former Rangers hero. And he was talking about his time, of course, in interim charge, what he makes of Rangers this season and why he left when Philip Clement came in. And this does seem like a lifetime ago. He said, when it took over, it feels like a different season, to be honest. Obviously, I started with the intention of getting back playing. It didn't pan out the way I wished, but I'm 39 now, and I have to appreciate everything that comes with that too. Then the interim manager thing came out of the blue. Those few weeks were a whirlwind. It seemed like a different life. It was a great experience for me to get the opportunity to do that. After I made the decision to stop playing, it felt like a weight off my shoulders because I was always pushing, and when it wasn't going in the right direction, I got disappointed. It was probably the biggest learning experience of my life. As you get older, you start to think what the next chapter might look like. Coaching and management is certainly something that interests me, but up until that point, I hadn't really done any coaching. I didn't have my qualifications. Everybody was on the same page with me going in there at that time. And what was being asked, they put a staff around me to help me around the boys. With the Limassol game, with the travelling we had, the training time we had on the pitch was very limited. After that, we went straight into St Mirren. It was a whirlwind, but a great experience for me. It certainly whets the appetite. And on about Rangers and the possibility of going on and winning the title, he says, I think first and foremost, you want to prove it yourself. There is a lot of external noise and questions being asked. There is so much pressure playing for the club, and that's why you either love it or you don't. You have to buy into that. A lot of players in that dressing room have shown over the years they can handle the pressure, but there are still questions asked of you every season. If it hasn't gone for you the season before, you're under pressure to get it right the following year. That's the nature of the beast, and that's never going to change, but that's why you love being here. The boys have the first trophy of the season in the bag, and the league is very tight. He also goes on, speaks about Ross McCausland there as well. I'd urge you to go and check it out, folks. The link is in the description. Always good to hear from Stephen Davis. Joshua, I've said on record he'd be good to have around the place, even in that an off-field capacity now, of course, after retiring. We'd like to see him back at Ibrox doing a bit. But yeah, always speaks very well.
Yeah, well, Clement agrees with you, didn't he? I think it's Davis that is the one who doesn't agree with you at the moment. But understandably, you know, he's someone who has been a top level professional for so many years, and will want, I'm sure, take some time with his family, which is you know, completely reasonable, and allows him to weigh up is what he's going to do next. But yeah, interesting to hear from him in relation to McCausland and the title race. What you do for a player like him at this stage in the season? No surprise that Rangers have struggled to replace Stephen Davis, because he was a level above most players in that squad when he was even back the second time. And even, you know, you cast your mind back to when Michael Beale came back into the club and he brought Davis on for what I think might be his last appearance for Rangers, which was the 3-2 win over Hibs, because he suffered an injury in training just after that, didn't he? I believe I'm right in saying. And Beale at the time was saying, look, he's still got... he's not really aged in terms of his on the pitch. Obviously, he had aged off the pitch. That'll be impressive if he hadn't since Beale left the first time around. And there was still going to be a role for him, even if it was just coming off the bench and helping to shore up games and see them out. Unfortunate how it ended, because someone who was always available and, you know, the UK's record cap holder and all these different achievements definitely merited a proper send-off. Wasn't to be, but as he says, hopefully that gives him a bit of closure on that chapter, and we'll see what's next for him. I think while Clement is at the club, that door will always be open. And as he says, that spell as the interim boss maybe just gives him the sense of what being in the dugout is like, and you'll want to follow up at some point.
Yeah, James sums it up. He says that we miss those defence splitting passes. Yeah, absolutely. Knew how to pick a pass to Stephen Davis. Another point that we'll bring up on the show this morning. There's a few comments earlier. Lewis says, hope we can get positive news on Ridvan. That's the press conference, of course, just a reminder, it is tomorrow. But on Ridvan, Joshua, we were told initially it was a small issue. He would be back in contention for the Old Firm game. He's still missing, still out, and it remains to be seen whether he comes back at the weekend. He was training on his own, if I'm not mistaken, last week. And the manager was going to make an assessment on him over the weekend ahead of the Hearts game. This is dragging on, is it not?
Yeah, the 7 to 10 day Rangers curse, isn't it? Strikes again, or 8 to 10 days, whatever it was. It is dragging on. Ridvan has had injury difficulties since he came to the club. It looked as though those injuries had sort of subsided when he was in the team pretty consistently. This ties into the whole conversation about rotation, because people a lot of the time have said, look, Clement needs to pick his strongest start in 11. And Clement, through one means or another, has argued that effectively he can't. He's only got a handful of players who can play at the intensity he wants every 5 days. He's spoken about the fitness issue before, which he says he'll need a pre-season to recalibrate. Everyone knows about the injury situation over the last few years. I don't need to tell them, but constant changes in the managerial situation and how Rangers train and backroom staff certainly hasn't helped that. All that to say, there's probably a reason that Ridvan didn't start certain games, even if he came on, I think, the second half at Rugby Park and made a big impact. But Rangers have really missed him because, again, in my opinion, he was the best player in 2024. If you play him there, you allow Dujon Sterling to play somewhere else. I honestly think Sterling could play just about anywhere at the moment. Derek put out a tweet the other day in the second half of that. I know I'm going on to a different topic here, but the second half of that game against Hearts, you know, the couple of moments where Sterling had the ball out wide on the left and he was taking his man on and he got the ball into the box a couple of times. I think Sterling is genuinely better at that than most of Rangers' wingers. You know, the ability to slow the pace, control a duel like that, go either way. That's technically your right back out in the left wing, looking like a left winger. And that's what's so impressive for me about Sterling, is he's not just got these physical capabilities that allow him to get around the pitch so much and allow him to win nearly all his duels. He's probably one of Rangers' best. Well, no, he is one of Rangers' best technical players as well. So putting Ridvan back into that starting 11 not only improves it on an individual basis because he's one of Rangers' better players, it allows Dujon Sterling to play elsewhere. And when you have those two players in the starting 11 compared to what Rangers had before, it suddenly looks a whole lot stronger. So you hope that this week, as you say, he was in individual training, wasn't back with the team the last time we heard from Clement. You hope that has changed, that situation has changed ahead of the trip to St Mirren, because Rangers need a miracle really to win the league in terms of the goal difference, but especially that cup final as well. Ridvan's going to be a huge player if he can get back in contention for the next six games. And as I say, that will allow Dujon Sterling to push up the pitch and make his impact there.
Yeah, no slip-ups can be afforded between now and the end of the season. We'll finish up with this one. Blazing Blues 72, just on another player who hobbled off for the weekend. Can't see Seema being risked this weekend if he felt his hammy. Again, we should get a clearer idea whether he will be available for selection tomorrow. I would be concerned about Abdallah Seema just coming back from an injury as well. Joshua, I would be... The good news is Ross McCausland came in. I thought he did quite well at the weekend. I think maybe pitching him in from the start on Sunday.
Yeah, McCausland's been a miss. I know people sometimes just look at his goals and assists, but for me, it gives Rangers a really good balance. At times, his end product is a little bit lacking, and Matondo and McCausland, I thought, they got into position, they could have made the game a bit easier for Rangers before it went 2-0 at Hampden, especially in that first half. He gives Rangers a good balance, works well with James Tavernier. One of the key differences in Clement's team is you just have more people capable of running at the opposition with pace, which is so simple, but there's a reason that most managers have a couple of wingers in their team around football at the moment. So I agree with you. I'd probably be inclined to start McCausland there. I think Rangers need to play two wingers as much as possible. Fabio Silva has played out there. I don't think it suited him for the last few games. It started well out left, that Benfica game. He was one of Rangers' better players. But when it comes to domestic football, I think when Rangers have played with two wingers under Clement, the balance has looked better. So I'd definitely go with McCausland. Seema, as you say, hopefully it's nothing serious. He did walk off. It looked like it was more preventative than an injury that was really severe. But as you say, Derek, we'll find out the severity of that tomorrow at the press conference.
Yeah, and speaking of Fabio Silva, those of you that subscribe to the website can look forward to a brilliant interview tomorrow, Joshua.
Yes, yeah, spoke to his coach at PSV. Silva was there for the second half of last season, played off the left, but in a different role. So the topic of the interview is kind of How do you get the best out of him? I think at Rangers, there always needs to be a lightning rod. For me, Silva started well. I think he suffered a bit from playing out of position. There's been a couple of moments that haven't helped him. Some incidents in the Old Firm game, which Clement actually referenced, and he said he spoke to him about as well, while defending him in other moments, notably the penalty. But I think that he's... And obviously the moment where he misses that open goal, or not quite open goal, but he misses that chance at Hampden at the weekend, is the type of thing that happens to you as a player when you're out of form. So he's not the flavour of the month at the moment, Derek. But the topic of the interview is, how would you get the best out of him? What is his best position? Because I think a couple of months ago, people could see, especially when he first came to the club, that he was a really good player, a really good technical player, someone who could link well with his teammates. And Rangers will need him between now and the end of the season. You know, Dessers will score goals, but he'll miss chances as well. We know what he is and we know what he isn't by this point. I know I wrote a piece at the weekend speaking about his mentality, and I think that's true, because not many people come back from the amount of doubts and missed chances like Dessers. And I think that's he does seem to have a bit of a, not carefree, but quite a relaxed attitude, which is probably what you need to play for a club like Rangers and the pressures that come with it. But they'll need Silva as well between now and the end of the season. That should probably come in a more central position, I think. But yeah, the interview tomorrow gives really good insights, the type of thing we like to do on the website, where we go and speak to experts, go and speak to people who've worked with the players, to give our subscribers unique insight into, that question, how to get the best out of them. What is he like as a player? What is he like behind the scenes? And as well as, if you subscribe, as well as getting articles like that, you can obviously be entered in automatically for that signed Gazza and Coisty shirt, as you flung up at the start of the show.
Yeah, just a heads up, folks. I'll be on, for those of you that are members of the Rangers Review Extra channel on YouTube, I'll be on with Adam at around 1:30 this afternoon for another Q&A show. So I'll pop the post out on the community page. Get your questions in. We'll answer as many as we possibly can. We'll round up with this. Peggy with a nice comment. She says, remembering the great Sandy Jardine, listen to the interview with Super Ali, a great Rangers man and a gentleman. Yeah, 10 years yesterday. Since his sad passing. Can't believe it's a decade already. That is absolutely nuts. But he is sadly missed, an absolute icon for Rangers Football Club. And I would urge you all to go and check that interview out. It's free to watch for all on the Rangers YouTube channel. Right, that'll do us there. Huge thanks to Joshua. We will be back again tomorrow as we look forward to the press conference and the biggie on Sunday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Bye for now.